enjoy hunting, I want to hook you up with Ultramatic Feeders. You need to know about this company. The website is ultramaticfeeders.com. There are a one-shop stop for everything you need with hunting blinds. They have all kind of different brands of hunting blinds, game feeders, parts for feeders. Again, the website is ultramaticfeeders.com. And friends, I've been using Smoking Tech's electric smokers for over 15 years, probably closer to 20 years. You can go online to smokingtex.com. They're not one of your throwaway electric smokers that you can find at some package stores. These things are made to last. I've got one that I've been using for, well, that length of time, probably 15 years. Check them out online, smokingtex.com. Well, friends, have you ever been to Africa? I haven't, but I almost feel like I have. I've got so many buddies that have tell me about their trips and their hunting trips through the many years. Our next guest just got back from Africa, Mr. Wade Derby. Now, we've had Wade on. Wade's been our guest. He's become a friend of mine, and he Crosshairs Consulting. His job is to hook people up with places to hunt, not just Africa, of course, but all over, really all over the world, but definitely in the continental U.S. Wade, thank you for being with us, and welcome back from your trip with your family, I think, out to Africa.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be home.
Did you have a good time? I bet you did.
You know, we really did. It was it exceeded what I thought it was going to be like, you know, for my son and who has never been, and then my wife. You know, it's been once, so it was very nice.
That's good. You know, I did I talked to people on this show about going to Canada fishing, you know, fly-in camps, which I've done a lot of, and the Saskatchewan Department of Tourism has been a long time been one of my sponsors, so I've done it enough to help people, but I remember the first time I went up to a fly-in camp way up near the Northwest Territories, actually. I mean, to me, it was a daunting task. I thought, whoa, how am I? The logistics. It was a simple thing. It's a simple deal to get up there. I've done it enough. Could do it in my sleep. But I didn't know. I didn't know what it was. But your job, what you do, is connect people, say they want to go to Africa the first time. You've been to Africa. You've been to the place you might recommend them to go to. That makes it simple for people, doesn't it?
It definitely helps. I had a client along on this trip from Florida, and you know, he took advantage of being able to discuss logistics with me and try and get his best plane flight rates, and you know, especially firearm services. Once you know, if you're taking a gun over there, there's an easy way to do it and a hard way to do it.
Yep. And that's, you learn that by doing it. So things like that is would a big help if you have someone that knows and does what you do. Tell us about the trip. I saw, you know, we're Facebook friends, and I want to connect people with you on Facebook because you do post whatever's going on in your adventures on Facebook. But your son, I think he could be a comedian, maybe. Am I right? he nice. Was a character. I also spoke fluent. I'm not sure the language, but yeah, I bet he's a pistol. He took some nice animals, and I guess all of you did, right?
Yeah. You know, this trip here was just my wife, my son Justin, and then. Said a new friend and client, Joey Cox, there from Florida that went. But, yeah, no, he did his best impersonation of being able to speak the Bantu language called Xhosa,
okay,
which has a lot of the clicking sounds,
yes,
and things he was imitating. Their X's and K's are a click. And it's a Bushman language. And, yeah, he picked up a few words and he improvised yeah. a number of.
Well, I watched him on the little video. I could tell he enjoyed that. So okay, let's look at it like this. And it's truthfully, I never have been to Africa. I've been a lot of places, but I've never been over there. So I call you up, Crosshair Consulting. You know, Wade, Miss, you know, I'm interested in going to Africa, what do I expect? I know there's got to be a lot of different options when I go over there, but I've never been, and I'd like an experience. So what do you recommend? And then you'll probably start quizzing me or the client, right?
Yeah, I mean, what are you looking for? What type of an experience? You know, everybody has kind of an idea of what they think Africa is like. And, you know, like South Africa, every time I go there, and even Namibia, I always comment on how much it looks like the American West. And the Southwest, and even like Pacific Coast of California. We were in the Eastern Cape, and so we were near East London and Queenstown. Cape Town was a little further off, but the Eastern Cape of South Africa, it looks remarkably like California's coast, especially the central and southern coast.
So you fly to Johannesburg, or where would you fly to usually?
Usually just about any country that you're going to
okay.
go to.
There's airports, like, you know.
Right. You're going to fly into Johannesburg, but then you're going to connect, whether you're connecting within South Africa, you're flying on to Namibia or Zambia or Zimbabwe or Tanzania, you know, especially Southern Africa.
Okay. So the place that you just returned from, tell us about that. Was it a long flight from where when you landed there? Was it a long distance to get to where you went?
No, it wasn't bad. In our flight from Montana, from Bozeman to Atlanta, is 4.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And then we connected 2 hours later with a nighttime flight that went Atlanta to Johannesburg, which is right on the short side of 17 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we got there in the evening and we stayed. I made arrangements for a guest house to pick us up and to help with the firearms transfers.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had almost 10 hours before our next flight. So we ended up going to the guest house, having dinner, having rooms, being able to shower.
Yeah.
And get some sleep before we went back and took the domestic flight to East London, South Africa. That flight's only an hour and 15 minutes.
How long was it, did you say?
An hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Minutes.
Not just a short hop then. Yeah. Okay.
No, but in transit for us coming from Montana, it was almost 36 hours.
Yeah, to get to where your destination. Okay.
Correct.
So once you're there, what's it like? I mean, was it I'm sure it was, you know, it would have to be a guide, you know, they had a good, I'm sure had some guides to take you around and show you the ropes. But lodging and all that, meals, I would assume, is furnished like a full service camp in the U.S. maybe?
It is. It's all part of the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed at a lodge called Mawini, and, you know, it was a common area for dining and what have you. They had a pool, had a remote piece of ground, but beautiful amenities. Everybody had a thatch roof bungalow that they stayed in, and they have everything. I mean, it's a full service hunt. It's different than North America. I mean, they're doing your laundry, turning down the beds and sheets and linen. You know, you've got fully catered meals, and you know, it is not rough hunting in the concept of tent camping and being out in the wilderness.
Yeah, I understand. And then is it a large area section that you're hunting? You have access to a lot of country to hunt?
Yes. I mean, just in that area alone, there were, and I'm going to refer to them as farms because they actually have quite a cattle industry over there and what have you. But I had about 11 different farms, and I don't even have any idea how much acreage it was, but it's significant. I mean, we're talking about miles, square miles of land to hunt with different terrain features and different species that occupy those areas.
Yeah. Well, would you, I know your son was there. and you hunted. Yeah. So would you have a say Monday morning, the first morning, let's just say, of the hunt, Plains game, or would you say, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to target Impala or whatever? Did it go like that, or was you just out and then you had some targeted species, and when they arrived, when you had a chance to put a stalk on them, you went after them? How did that work?
Andrew, my professional hunter, had, you know, some species that we were looking for. So he had organized areas and a plan for each day. Mm-hmm. And of course, sometimes it changed on the fly, but
yeah,
you know, we started out in a veld area that had, I think we saw a different species. We got there in time to do a quick evening hunt after everybody zeroed their guns. And in a couple hours, we saw eight different species.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that veld area, you know, for example, it had Impala, it had springbuck, it had black wildebeest, it had water buck, it had a blessed buck, it had an animal called a bontebuck, which is very similar to the blessed buck. You know, there were some gumsbuck in the area, kudu, and yala. So significant number of animals.
Yeah. Well, did you take anybody shoot anything that first afternoon, or, you know?
The first afternoon we did not. No. They did make a stalk on a really nice water buck. They ended up stalking that water buck because he had a unique pattern, and we were able to check on him at times and find him somewhere within a mile or two of where we saw him the day before. Mm-hmm. My son actually got that water buck on the very last day.
Oh, good. Finally got him. Wade, we need to, one of our segments here on Catfish Radio is not enough, so we need to take a quick break, and let's come back. Would you come back with us and let's talk? I've got a bunch more questions, and yeah. I know our listeners would enjoy that, so stick with me, and we'll be right back, okay?
You bet.
Friends, if you're heading southeast out of Dallas on Highway 175, you'll pass by Crandall. Whip in there to the Cotton Gin. They have some of the best food you'll find anywhere. Live music in the evenings. You can go online to cottongincrandall.com and check them out.